What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, we're giving the Creature Kringle Times reindeer a break and hiring some new mystical steeds to carry Kringle Claw's sleigh. And using a bit of Kringle Time magic, we're bringing some megafauna back from extinction. Discover some unforgettable ungulates as we answer the age-old question: were dragons herbivores? Joining me is friend of the pod, friend of ungulates everywhere, and host of the show, secretly incredibly fascinating, Alex Schmidt.
Hey, Katie, it's amazing to be here, and especially thank you for teeing up megafauna. It's very, megafauna. Just very, very exciting to be. I love it. Yeah.
Mammals in
disguise. The bison in my heart is dancing around and very happy. Yeah.
Megafauna. Wow, look at the size. So, yeah, we're all about ungulates today. Alex, do you like an ungulate?
I think I learned the word ungulate from a Far Side cartoon. I don't know how many other people had that experience. But
Google.
There's That's it's like a guy in a back alley.
Ungulate.
It's like the strip is like a guy in a back alley. It's the trope of like a guy with a coat full of illicit watches or whatever. But it's a guy in a back alley saying, hey, you want to buy an ungulate? And then there's a bunch of like antelope in the shadows. It's great.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That's amazing. Black market ungulate.
Yeah.
They are a clade of quadruped mammals. Typically, they've got hooves. This includes animals you'd probably expect, like horses, deer, cows, camels, and sheep. But also animals you might not expect, like rhinos, giraffes, tapirs, and even cetaceans, which is dolphins and whales. And the reason dolphins and whales are in that clade is they evolved from terrestrial ungulate ancestors. So they do not have hooves.
Cool.
They are, thinking of a dolphin as an ungulate is very strange, but they are in that clade because they did evolve from weird little deer things.
I didn't know they got to remain in the club. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're still in the club. I mean, I think if you called a dolphin an ungulate, you might get some weird looks, but they are technically in the same clade as ungulates. So, you might get some side eyes. You're like, yeah, dolphins is an ungulate.
Because I care about scientific accuracy, and I also care about, fitting in with the cool marine biologists
I'm trying to hit it off with.
So it's important.
Kind of a West Side Story situation where you have the marine biologists and then the terrestrial animal biologists snapping their fingers and
right, the sharks and something besides the jets, the coelacanths or whatever old ocean thing they care about.
Vaquitas and the chevrotains. Sounds really badass, but those are two of the cutest examples of cetaceans and ungulates. So first, let's talk about what a hoof is. So not all ungulates have hooves, but most hooved animals are ungulates. A hoof is the tip of a toe of an animal where the nail or claw has evolved into a very thick and hard keratinous chunk that the animal can walk on. So there are both even-toed ungulates like deer who have an even number of toes on each foot, or the odd-toed ungulates like horses who walk on an odd number of toes. For instance, horses walk on one big old toe, which has grown to incredible proportions. So,
wow,
they're just walking on their tiptoes. Ungulate legs are typically pretty interesting anatomically. So the part of the horse that you would probably think of as the knee is actually its wrist. So that big knobby thing on the horse, you're like, that's where its knee is, right? That's where it's walking. That's its ankle and or wrist. So below that are the elongated and fused bones of the metacarpals. In humans, the metacarpals are actually that first segment of our fingers and toes. You guys can't see it because I'm in your ears, but I'm showing Alex my fingers because this is the metacarpals. Yeah. So it's just
they
are.
And then the rest
walking
of it is Katie's hoof, actually. It continues into her
and
hoof.
They fuse into a single horrifying hoof that I like to prance around on, which is, you know, really an interesting image. But yeah, I mean, basically, horses are walking on one long toe. So that's interesting and a little bit upsetting, I guess.
This is really changing my whole understanding of horses. Like the whole essentially bottom half of what I think of as their leg is basically a foot. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So like
freaky.
Yeah. Because if you think of a horse leg, it bends in like three places, kind of. So you've got the shoulder part, but then under that you have the actual knee and or elbow. And then under that you have where you would kind of think the knee would go is actually the wrist or ankle joint. And then below that you have the finger joints. So it's weird.
Yeah. It's like I'm thinking of that meme where it's like, how would a dog wear pants? And it's either across or at the back. Like, now I'm thinking of how would a horse wear shoes, and the shoe is like half the leg, you know, because it's the foot or whatever. Freaky.
Yeah, I think there's some kind of drawing of like what a human would look like with horse proportions.
Oh, it's called BoJack Horseman. It's a very good show. A lot of people like it.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun diagrams of people walking like horses, and it's showing sort of the similar stuff. Well, my Google search is certainly very strange and interesting, but not very scientifically relevant. So, moving on. Ungulates, weird toe walkers, but it gets weirder. And we can look back in time to some extinct species that were absolutely just bonkers. So there used to be a gigantic deer that would roam around in Ireland and Russia and parts of Europe called the Irish elk. And it was not an elk. It was a deer.
Awesome.
It was also known as Megaloceros giganteus because it was giganteus. So its skeletal remains have been found in the bogs of Ireland, which those bogs are really amazing at preserving dead things. It probably went extinct over 7,000 years ago. So humans definitely overlapped with this thing. So it had a massive set of moose-like antlers. So you have two types of antlers. You have sort of the antlers you see on like a deer, but then the antlers you see on a moose or like a, I think it's called a fallow deer. Yeah, a fallow deer are palmated antlers. So a palmated antlers basically means hand-like antlers, just like a moose. You know, they have sort of this solid palm, and then it branches off into quote-unquote fingers. So yeah, palmated antlers. And It was absolutely pants-wettingly huge, gigantic. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm imagining the first human to invent pants overlapping with the end of this animal.
Yeah.
So, like, they finally finish pants and immediately pee them because they see this animal. You know, like, well.
I think they were invented to be peed in, like you know, some very early human, like, oh, my God, that deer makes me want to pee my pants. And then he invents pants and pees them promptly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this big old deer stood at around 7 feet tall, over 2 meters at the shoulders. It could weigh over 1,500 pounds or 700 kilograms. It was similar in size to a moose, plus, you know, maybe a little bigger than a moose, but it had much bigger antlers. The antlers were the biggest known of any deer, and they spanned 12 feet from side to side. So that's 3.6 meters of antlers, and they weighed almost 90 pounds or 40 kilograms, over twice the size of the antlers of a moose. So, yeah, big antlers.
Whoa, that right, that's the freakiest part, that it's the same size of the rest of the animal, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then they just pile on so much.
Do you remember that old the Grinch Who Stole Christmas cartoon version, not the Jim Carrey version?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chuck Jones cartoon, and he's trying to disguise the little dog into a deer, so he puts a big set of antlers on the dog so the dog tips forward, and he keeps having to shave off the antlers until it's the right size for the dog to wear.
Yeah.
Dog keeps tipping forward. That's how I imagine these deer, just like tipping forward all the time. But yeah, that's why their bodies had to be so huge and muscular. They even had like this big hump on their back, similar to a bison, that would help probably kind of balance them a little more, and also gave them the ability to both store fat and have longer leg strides at the attachment of their shoulders. So yeah, just beasts.
Wow.
Big old beasts.
And probably almost like harrowing to see, because I have family in Colorado who've seen a moose in the wild in real life, and they described it as a little more scary than majestic, you know what I mean? Like, they're that big, and they're kind of aggressive, and they only have, you know, like 1% of these antlers or whatever. I don't want to see an Irish elk in life. Boy, oh boy, forget it.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I think moose are scary. I appreciate them, obviously. I think they're beautiful animals. I respect them. I would not want to be face to face with a moose. That is terrifying. They're big, dangerous, wild animals. I think that sometimes, and certainly not people who live with moose. I think they probably understand and have a healthy respect for the moose, but deer and moose and ungulates in general, I think maybe other than bulls, we kind of don't think of as dangerous, but they certainly can be.
Yeah, bulls, I think because of media, are the one exception where we're like, oh yeah, that plant eater is dangerous.
Right,
but otherwise we have this weird like dinosaur, I think, based concept where we're like, oh, if it eats plants, you can hug it. And if it eats meat, it's the bad guys in the movie.
Yeah,
you know?
But really not the case. Even like if you've seen these herbivores fighting back against the carnivores, especially in the sub-Saharan savanna, like the giraffes kicking lions, and you know, it just they can really, I mean, they can sometimes kill lions, like a giraffe, even something like you know, some of the bigger ungulates, like.
Are hippos ungulates?
Hippos are ungulates, and they can certainly ruin your day and stomp in your head. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wildebeest can really mess a lion up. Absolutely. Just wreck a lion. So, yeah, I mean, they are very capable. Moose are very capable. Even regular-sized deer can hurt people. They can kill people. They can stomp you. They can gore you. You know, if you anger a deer up close, I mean, we have a great advantage with our weapons and stuff, and generally they're afraid of us. But if they feel like they've got to fight you to get out of a situation, you're in a lot of trouble. Because yeah, they're dangerous animals, and so this thing with antlers, 12 feet wide antlers, that's like it could carry two dudes in each set of antlers. Yeah. You know, like that's insane. It's absolutely the deer of your nightmares. And yeah, I mean, we did apparently hunt them, which I guess early humans were just like, yeah, mammoths, giant deer, no big deal. Just going to go up to this thing. I mean, I'm sure there was a good amount of collateral damage of early humans of like, what's this thing? And then next thing they know, like they've been cleanly hewn in half by a giant set of antlers. But yeah, I mean, one of the theories for why these went extinct is because of those huge antlers, because they are very costly in terms of nutrition. You need a lot of nutrition to build up those muscles and to be able to actually grow such huge antlers. And they're also kind of, you know, not the most aerodynamic things in the world. So if you're trying to run through a forest away from a group of human hunters, I would imagine they'd get stuck in things like in trees. And, you know, it's probably not the most advantageous feature. The reason they got so huge was for probably sexual selection, because they were huge in males. And it was probably to impress females and to signal to other males that like they were awesome and great and don't even bother trying to compete.
Yeah, they're essentially built like Johnny Bravo, it sounds like. But he doesn't need all that hair up there. Come on.
Yeah. Definitely sort of the ornamental bodybuilders of the ungulate world, where it's kind of decorative, you know. It looks intimidating, but a lot of it is decorative. I mean, they could definitely crush you if they fell on you, but you know.
Get in zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on?
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone. AutoZone. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
So now we're going to talk about one of the most uncanny, weird, we're getting real freaky with these deer, Alex. We're going to talk about Protoceratidae, which is a family of even-toed ungulates of North and Central America that went extinct over 4 million years ago, whose bodies look similar to deer, but their heads look like a deer from Salvador Dali's nightmares. So,
not his good dreams, where stuff's also melting, but it's happy.
Although maybe with Salvador Dali, maybe his nightmares were just realistic things, like cute teddy bears and normal-looking things. And he's like, ah, I just dreamed about a clock that wasn't melting.
Yeah. I could tell time. No.
So, my inspiration for this section is actually from a Twitter thread by an ecology student, Aditya Srinath, and some paleo artists discussing one of the weirdest extinct families of ungulates out there. So Protoceratidae, if you look at one of these skulls, you will be convinced that dragons were real. Alex, I have shared with you some of these skulls. These will also be in the show notes. They, you know, they look like dragons or dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, it's got dinosaur vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And then also sort of a horse mouth, as I understand skeletons. Like, if you came upon it in the desert southwest, all bleached and stuff, you would assume it's some sort of Dark Tower situation where a gunslinger was fighting monsters.
Yeah. So there are many different species with really wacky looking skulls, but typically they would have four horns, quote unquote horns. They're actually most likely ossicones. So an ossicone is something like you see on a giraffe. They are a bone structure covered in skin and fur. For the section, I'm going to use terms like horn and antler just to describe the shape of these things. But technically, horns are a structure covered in keratin, and antlers are a bony structure that are shed and regrown every year. And they, like a deer's antlers, will actually start out covered in a thin layer of skin and fur, which is shed. Whereas ossicones, which is what we're talking about here, are structurally similar to antlers in that they have a bony base and they're covered in skin and fur, but they're permanent. And so they never shed that skin and fur coating.
Oh, just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, like the little knobs on a giraffe head, I don't think about them too much, but when I do, I realize they're kind of weird, right?
I do. Because I used to give tours of a zoo at Brookfield Zoo, and we had a lot of giraffes that were part of the tour route. And I think people always thought of them as just silly, but then those little, ossicones on the top of the head, they indicate some sort of more warlike past to me of the giraffes. I don't know if that's true. And then, as you said, giraffes will totally fight and kick in the modern day. They still got it.
Yeah, but with their necks. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know exactly what the ossicones are used in giraffes. They may be for mate selection. I don't think they're used for fighting, but they may have had a relative that used them for fighting or for mate signaling. So yeah, so in these extinct species, these were probably used in sexual selection because it was the males that had the most just bananas situation going on with these ossicones. So
yeah, once again, Johnny Bravo's most species, it turns out, folks. I don't know if you're familiar with the cartoon from the 90s, maybe later.
Classic,
anyway,
90s cartoon where it was this guy whose like body mass was 90% the pectorals and biceps, and then tiny little legs. And actually, you know what? That Johnny Bravo analogy is going to hold out throughout the show, especially with our last one we're going to talk about. So hold on to that thought.
Scientific name, Jonicus Bravonicus, actually, too. Bravicus. If people want to find it in the, you know, the finer scientific texts out there.
So most species of Protoceratidae had two horny protrusions behind the eyes and two on the snout. But depending on the species, these horns were in all sorts of different weird shapes. And yeah, it was the males ran particularly wild with it. So one species called Synthetoceros had a nose antler that started out as like one long unicorn horn and branched into two. So kind of like a slingshot, I could imagine. You know, you wrapping a rubber band around it and using it as slingshot. What was that old show with like the caveman family who would like ride around on weird dinosaur things and like, what was
Wait,
that?
The Flintstones?
No. I mean, Flintstones is one of those things.
No.
Definitely Flintstones would use this as like a mobile, like a slingshot creature. But no, there was another one.
The movie The Croods? I have not seen it.
The movie The Croods. I googled cartoon dinosaur times 80s and that didn't help me really at all.
Slingshot in an old cartoon, I almost thought you were gonna say Bart Simpson, like when he just goes around slingshotting things, but no, that's not it. Especially in the early seasons, they were like, he's a real troublemaker, and part of it was that he had a slingshot in his back pocket, which no child has done since, I don't know, FDR. That's very old-fashioned to me.
Yeah, yeah. The Dennis the Menace slingshot in the back pocket. Herculoids. Yeah. It was Herculoids. Do you remember Herculoids?
No, I don't know it. Don't know it. Yeah, I never heard of it.
I mean, it was a little before our time, I think. I only saw reruns and stuff, but they had like weird, like, dinosaur monsters and like a rhino that would shoot stuff out of its forehead and like a gorilla made out of stone. And then these just like big goo things. Anyways, it was a really weird show. And this makes me think of something from that weird show. I think it was from the 70s. But yeah, so in addition to the slingshot on its nose, it also had these two horns behind its eyes that were curved. And even weirder, so there's this dip in the nasal bones that some people, including paleo artist Ville Sinkonen, speculate may have been because of an inflatable skin pouch at the base of the horn that males could have used, similar to how animals like elephant seals or frigate birds inflate a pouch for sexual displays, but like right on top of its nose. So I'm definitely including a link to a hilarious and really interesting animated 3D recreation by Ville Sinkonen. It's this such a goofosaurus, like, I mean, it's a ungulate, mammalian ungulate, but it's so goofy looking. And then on top of that, the potential for this inflatable nose pouch, just incredible, magnificent.
I'm looking at this little video and look, they did a really professional job. It's really well put together and it makes it funnier to me. Like, yeah. It's just this. It looks like it has like an Edgar Allan Poe telltale heart underneath the front of its face. I love it. Really good. Like it won't stop beating in a way that's unsettling. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it would make a little like bicycle horn honking sounds.
So. Yeah. Or have like that wheezing nerd voice that's in cartoons. Like it's trying to talk, but there's just wheezing all the time. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, and this is just one species. There are several species of really weird looking ones. And I'm including in the show notes a diagram of a few of them. One of them was Paratosaurus wardi, which appeared to have two big triangular horns right above the eyes, like almost like eyelid lashes that fused into a horn. And then two smaller bony triangular protrusions in front of the eyes and this weird little wishbone-shaped bone right on top of its skull between the ears, like it's wearing one of those little propeller hats.
Yeah, it almost looks like old TV antennas and pictures of old TVs in a way that no one has now. Like,
yeah.
Like it's picking up channels 2 through 7 for free and it's really proud of it, you know, beating the cable company.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Then there's Protoceras solare, which was, I struggled to figure out how to describe this. It has fangs. That's important. Like vampire fangs. It has like two bony shark fins or dolphin fins like at the sides of its nose. And then just a complete chaos as you go up the face. There are ridges around its eyes, like a square ridge right above its eyes, and then two joysticks right behind its eyes. So that's a thing. Yeah.
It basically has one of the landscape backgrounds from Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner but on top of its head. Like several mesas in a way that would be our greatest national park, but doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's a skate park built on top of a deer head.
Yeah.
It's just these things are so ambitious. The ambition of these creatures that thought they could get away with these horns.
It also, I'm not a hunter, but I feel like the hunting community would be losing its mind if it could have this many different kinds of antlers to count and rate themselves on, right? Like they all love just the amount of points deer antlers have. They would be like weird stat head baseball nerds about if it was available to them today.
These antlers would require some long division. It's a situation. It's a whole situation.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone. Get in zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
So now we're going to talk about truly the most Johnny Bravo of all deer. It is a species of giant gorilla bear deer that went extinct over 78,000 years ago, found in North America, Eurasia, and Africa. So these are...
Yeah. Did you say gorilla bear deer?
Yes, I did. No, actually, said giant gorilla bear deer.
Oh, I'm sorry. The fourth animal there is giants, like in Jack and the Beanstalk. Really cool.
So these were odd-toed ungulates, and though they were odd-toed ungulates, they didn't really have the same hoof leg structure as ungulates such as horses. Instead of hooves, they had these three big claws, kind of like a sloth. The way they walked were very strange. Do you know those like strider costumes? I think they're in like the dark crystal, and a lot of people wear them for like parades or Halloween or something, where you're kind of, you have two stilts that you hold with your arms, and then you're on a set of shorter stilts with your back legs. And people kind of walk around like some kind of weird animal. It's basically shaped like that.
It's like Cloverfield monster posture.
Yeah.
That thing where you have like big, big, big front legs and then little back ones.
Yes.
And everyone monster. Does shaky cam footage.
That is what these are. Absolutely. And they liked to eat leaves and shrubs. So they had these little short, hind legs, and really, really big beefcakes arms, obviously skipping leg day, but doing like quadruple duty on arm day. And they walked on their knuckles of their forelimbs, kind of similar to a gorilla, sort of like side knuckling it, actually more like an anteater walks, because they had such huge claws on their front limbs, they couldn't really walk directly on these claws. They had to curl them inwards and walk on the sides. On their knuckles. And then their heads were horse-like, and they had like the, you know, basically a big, big horse mouth, and they would So a review of what's happening here. Beefy body of a gorilla, walks like a cross between a gorilla and an anteater, has claws like a sloth, head and neck like a horse. They weighed over 1,300 pounds or 600 kilograms. They were about 6 feet tall at the shoulders or 1.8 meters and over 7 feet long or 2 meters. And it could use its huge claws to pull down trees and strip off limbs for them to get at leaves or probably to fight off predators.
Yeah, they could just put up those dukes and do it and maybe fall over if it picks up its front legs. But, you know, still pretty good until then. Pretty good.
Even funnier, they probably were able to rear up on their hind legs to get at tall trees. So just these little teeny tiny, like, I mean, their legs aren't that tiny. They're like bear legs, but compared to the front of them with these huge arms, they do look disproportionately small. And yeah, I mean,
yeah,
like, yeah, looking at this thing, it's like a mule or a donkey crossed with like a bear or a giant sloth and with huge claws that could definitely decapitate you. Yeah, I don't know. Absolute cuties.
It is. It's like pretty nice looking for being the exact nightmare collage you have described.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun to look at for being parts of seven different mammals. It almost feels like somebody was vaguely told about mammals in passing and tried to draw what that is.
Yeah, like, yeah. It feels like a bestiary drawing from a monk who's never seen a horse or a gorilla and tried to draw right. a combination of the two from memory. Yeah, I mean,
And they're like, you're a monk. Aren't you supposed to be focused on the Bible? And they're like, it's part of it. It's part of it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm creative.
Yeah, yeah. Man, they love to draw their weird animals and those little inserts in the side. I mean, I don't blame them. God, it must have been boring to be a monk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, enough time staring at the wall and brewing beer that will be better later. You know, you want to start drawing weird lions that don't make sense.
Yeah, I'm going to try to draw a lion despite never having seen one or even heard a description of one. I think it's like a dog with spikes. Yeah, but I would absolutely like feed one of these sugar cube, call it Sea Biscuit, and ride around on it until it like decided it was annoyed by me and just sliced me cleanly in two.
It could definitely be the tank in your like fantasy role playing group of four or five characters.
Yeah.
It could definitely be the one that receives a lot of damage while somebody else is a mage and there's an archer or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely the tank. And yeah, or like a Star Wars creature that, you know, makes some ridiculous Foley sound effect as you ride around on it.
Yeah. Star Wars, I feel like throughout that franchise, they're very anti-megafauna, right? Like there's some people ride and stuff, but the Wampa and then the Rancor and then that big thing in the seventh movie. And stuff. There's a lot of like, if it's a big animal, it's a monster. No thanks. Big animals are cool. Get out of here, Star Wars. Not into it.
But yeah, I do think like if Creature Kringle times reindeer need a break, I don't know. I would love to see a sleigh driven by like a couple of giant Irish elk, a couple of weird Proto-Ceratidae with just absolutely Boschian M.C. Escher-like faces. And then, you know, bringing up the rear, maybe a couple of these gorilla deer. I love it.
just following like a celebrity's bodyguards. Like,
little sunglasses. Just
two of them in turtlenecks. Yeah.
Sunglasses and those like little ear wires. It's like, you know, baby reindeer to Papa Santa, we eyes on the package.
And then later in the movie, you find out they're actually really sweet guys. You judge them for their size, but actually one of them does a lot of needlepoint.
I like how you just willed a movie into existence, like later in the movie, about this crew of non-reindeer.
I've been storyboarding this whole time. My hand is very tired.
It'd be called Santa Claus, and then there'd be like in the poster art, these fake claw rips and then blood dripping down, right?
I am astonished that it's not already a movie title.
I'm sure like, it is. You could... Santa Claus movie. Oh, it certainly is. It's got 2 stars on IMDb. Cool. Oh, sounds there's right. different yeah. types of Santa Claus movies. There's one that's starring kittens as it looks like one kitten's like a reindeer, one kitten's like an elf. So Santa Claus, the kittens movie. Amazing. Then there's Santa Claus starring a skeleton dressed as Santa carrying a axe.
Hold on. So they were like, we're going to make a horror movie called Santa Claus. What's the first monster we pick? Definitely something that has no claws. A skeleton. Perfect.
There's also a 2014 movie called Santa Stole Our Dog. Not sure. Oh. And then there's another Santa Claus movie with kittens. That seems to be pretty popular one.
Santa Stole Our Dog.
Santa stole
He's just a huge
dog.
Jerk.
I know this is not necessarily the theme of the podcast, but I do have to see if I can read the description of this movie, the Santa Stole Our Dog. So Santa Stole Our Dog is a 2017 Christmas movie. It's called Santa Stole Our Dog, A Merry Dog on Christmas, by Brian Michael Stoller.
Brian Michael Steeler? Of course he wrote this. Of course he did.
So the summary is pretty simple. On Christmas Eve, Santa Claus accidentally steals the family dog. So begins an epic journey through the 12 days of Christmas as the family ventures to the North Pole to get their beloved canine back. Now, the cover of the Santa Stole Our Dog has a dodo bird on it, which I'm not sure I understand that. This is definitely something I'm going to have to watch and get back to you guys on what's going on with this movie. Because it looks...
I am astonished that this movie connected to megafauna. There's a dodo on it? Incredible. Great. Those are megafauna, right? Like, amazing.
I feel like cool. They're medium fauna.
Medium fauna. That's about right. Yeah.
Santa stole our dog. I don't think I'm allowed. Maybe I could play just a little clip from the trailer. Let me see. This is a special creature feature first, me playing a clip from a trailer that only has a tenuous connection to animal biology.
I have also pulled up this IMDb page, and I'm seeing a very cockeyed Santa who is apparently played by Ed Asner, RIP. And I'm also seeing that the subtitle of Santa Stole Our Dog is A Merry Dog on Christmas!
Yes.
So, a lot going on.
Yeah. Okay. So I did manage to get the trailer. It's a Creature Kringle Times miracle. There's
okay, giving Santa a lot of credit up front. Maybe he's a thief, guys. Okay.
Yeah, it stars Ed Asner as Santa Claus. Bad CGI reindeer, and you know, yeah. No, this is wow. The trailer is basically just the kids going, "Santa stole our dog," and then the adults going, "Like Santa stole our dog," and then there's a newspaper that reads, "Santa steals family's dog," and then Santa going, "Like whose dog did I allegedly steal?" Who do you belong to? Wonderful. I feel so blessed to find this.
It's just 90 straight minutes of people making surprised faces back and forth. That's the entire
Santa
movie.
Santa stole like, a dog? Huh? A dog what? Was stolen by Santa? Well, so thank you so much for joining me, Alex. Where can people find you?
It's always great. Always, always great. And yeah, I make a podcast called Secretly Incredibly Fascinating. I really hope people check it out. Each one's about one thing that people think is ordinary. And then we get into history, science, lore about why it's amazing. And there are many wonderful episodes with Katie Golden.
Yes.
What? Yes. You should check them out. Especially there will be one start of January, a new one.
It's exciting. I love the topic.
Yeah.
I
the topic might make you make a series of high-pitched noises as you enjoy it.
Might fun make you hint. Go, yeah, and thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying the pod and you leave me a rating and review, I read all the reviews and I cherish them and I print them out and I hang them up in my house. I'm like, look at that one from Weed Goku 69 who liked my show. So thank you so much. And if you think you have an answer to the animal sound guessing game, you can write me at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com, creaturefeaturepod on Instagram, creaturefeetpod on Twitter. That's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. Something very different. And, of course, thanks to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Features, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or, hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows. See you next Wednesday.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.